It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
Hey, this is A. Rowan, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
There, it's Martin, a.k.a. the Witch King from the Rise of Sauron Crystal World. Welcome to the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
And Leo, a.k.a. Vehemence from the Darkness Enthralled series.
And you're listening to the 161st episode of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Well, we have a great interview tonight. Great NWN1 module creator of the Darkness Enthralled series, part one. He's going to be on talking about that and a bunch of other stuff, and it's a really great interview, so stay tuned for that. We have some new Neverwinter Nights 1 news. There wasn't a whole lot in the vault for Neverwinter Nights 2, so what we're going to do is we're going to cover Neverwinter Nights 1 updates, and then Ben and myself will talk about the ROT2 Cormyrian Expanse project that we've been feverishly working on. Just give a quick update on that. And the Witch King will be giving an update on his updates for his persistent world, Rise of Sauron.
Yep.
And start getting into Neverwinter Nights 1 news. We have a new PW that Ben's going to talk about.
Okay, so our new persistent role-playing server is Neithril Rising by nr.dm. Their description is, welcome to Neithril Rising, a Neverwinter Nights 1 persistent role-playing server set in the Forgotten Realms. The site is focused on the ancient past of the Forgotten Realms, specifically the early history of the Neithril Empire. The main settlement of the server is the town of Hadron, a border town recently settled by the Neithrinese on the very edge of the expanding Neithril Empire. Though the Neithril Empire is powerful, it's still in its infancy and far from the arcane and power of the Forgotten lore.
Sounds very cool.
Definitely.
And we got a new Neverwinter Nights 1 module called A Touch of Evil by Zoltan.
Wahaha.
Well, at least it's a better name, you know. Anyhow, it's a brief, just a little bit of information on this module. It's recommended to use provided characters, Sephiroth Redbone, a 7th level rogue. If you want to create your own character, its gender should be male. Name should be Sephiroth Redbone, otherwise the game abruptly quits and displays the credits. So don't worry about the levels. You'll be given enough XP to start 7th level. But yeah, definitely... Not a whole lot of information posted on it as far as synopsis, but it definitely looks like an interesting model. Looking at some of the information on it, some of the pictures attached, and a lot of the feedback that the module has gotten. Sounds pretty very enjoyable, and the greatly designed areas and dialogue. So if you like something that's in-depth, it's definitely something to check out. And it's also, you know, it's a more of like a you're putting yourself in a story type thing versus... you know, something that you're trying to bake up your own background as you go along or whatever. So it's definitely something interesting there to take a look at.
And it's evil.
Exactly. A touch of evil.
Just a touch of evil.
Just a touch. Not a smattering.
Too much, you just lose the whole flavor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like putting a pound of ketchup on a little piece of meat there. So it's all you're doing. For lack of a better horrible analogy. And moving on to Neverwinter Nights 2 in our updates, I'll talk quickly about the Realms of Trinity, the Cormyrian Expanse for our persistent world, the Realms of Trinity. Ben and myself have spent quite some time now doing conceptual designs of what we're doing. Lots of long nights on Skype.
That makes it sound a little wrong, but...
Yeah, but it's all right.
The duration is correct, I'll put it that way.
Yes, we're spending lots and lots of time into this and really getting deep into lore and really making everything as convincing as absolutely possible for this persistent world. So the rest assured is going to be extremely awesome for the continuation of the Realms of Trinity 2 campaign storyline, as well as we're going to develop equal amount of content that will have nothing to do with the Campaign 2 storyline. and that will focus on more low to mid level characters. Because at the when this rolls out and when we're finally finished rolling this out, we are going to be scaling back the speed at which you will level on the Realms of Trinity to about maybe at least by a third of what it currently is. So there's going to be a much more emphasis on lower to mid range characters versus the extreme high end characters. So it's something that'll, you know, to help accommodate for both player types, whether you like the low end low magic and that versus the high magic in, you know, epic scale, you'll be able to do both. And we're developing enough content, and thanks to the Witch King here, which is joined us this evening, we are using a lot of his areas. We're repurposing them for this campaign expansion from the Rise of Sauron. And also developing a whole set of huge, massive areas for the signature areas of Cormyr Suzel. And just a brief update there. We have just completed about five of our own areas. Got tons of pictures and a trailer posted on YouTube. So, you know, if you're interested in what we got going on, this is something that's going to be awesome. And it's really going to be in-depth. Huge city, tons of detail, tons of areas, tons of NPCs and stories. And focusing on a wide range of character levels for your enjoyment. So something that definitely anybody can get into and enjoy. And Witch King, you got some updates on your project?
Yes. In the last few months with the alliance with the people at the Realms of Trinity, thank you to you, Brian, and your crew. We have been implementing a lot of the systems that were being known as a very valuable systems and a very that players really enjoy to use. So we are still in the process of implementing those subsystems, especially the one which is will be the main features implemented from their persistent world, which will be the dynamic spawning system, which will bring a lot new complete new dimension to the Rise of Sauron persistent world. We also have been working on the new website design and also a new forums design, which will also brings the persistent worlds to a new start. So all the players that were used to the old the Rise of Sauron persistent world will also be pleased, because we'll still keep the older world as a core. As the core system and core world, and we will just enhance and polish everything with new content that has been used on the Realms of Trinity versus worlds. So I think that whoever have played Realms of Trinity or the Rise of Sauron should be able to fully enjoy both of our princesses' worlds.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, we're both excited about. Both of us will be having rollouts at a very similar time once we finally get to that stage to announce when our exact dates are going to be. But, you know, we're very excited to start this alliance. We are actually going to be posting some more information about a more of an umbrella organization that we're going to be putting together, where, you know, it's going to be kind of like Obsidian. It has multiple games. We're actually going to be rolling up our projects into a just basically an organization that is more of like a game development studio, where we're going to be focusing on multiple modules. Right now it's the Realms of Trinity and the Rise of Sauron, and, you know, eventually we might be bringing on other persistent worlds that want to join and consolidate their back-end architecture to what we've done, and so that we can, you know, roll out systems together and stuff that you're not going to be able to implement on the vault very easily to hand off. It's stuff that you need to be hands-on and working with other people about, and to really give a consolidated and enhanced experience to all the players that, you know, that have played our persistent worlds independently, that they get to see that, hey, look, these are really great features. They are going to be standardized in a lot of these modules, persistent worlds, that you get to actually play and see how well that evolves the game to another level, you know, beyond what you get out of the box, or if you go to other persistent worlds that don't have these types of systems that are, you know, these are professionally developed, these are very in-depth, and they offer a tons of replay value to any server that they're installed on. So, you know, we're really excited, both of us, to be able to do that. So I'll be looking for some stuff coming up in the next few months, or maybe the 3 or 4 months probably is probably the more appropriate time frame.
Yes, right now we are targeting a delivery date of about June, perhaps July, depending on the depending on how we will progress with the quest.
Yeah, same here. You know, we're looking around June or July for the Realms of Trinity as well. So for the Cormyran Expanse, probably more like July, mid-July, for right at this point in the game, because we've just we're here. We've got about 17 areas done of about 52 that we want to do for this release, and that's not even counting the coding and the scripting and writing that Ben's going to be doing for the story, and you know, a lot of the conversations and stuff like that. Plus the the scripting is a big thing. As a lot of our stuff is fully scripted out and it's very clean, so you got to spend the time to do that, plus not counting any kind of beta testing and whatnot. So definitely we both got a lot of work coming up, and you know, it's we're glad to be able to bring that to the Neverwinter Nights 2 community. Well, you got anything else there, anybody, or does that pretty much wrap up before we get to the interview?
Yeah, that's pretty. I'm pretty excited to hear about this guy.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned for the interview of the creator of the Darkness Enthralled Part 1 Neverwinter Nights Fun Module series. Well, today's podcast, we got a great Neverwinter Nights 1 module developer, Vehemence, coming on. Thanks for coming on the show. Really a fan of your work. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You can get as personal as you want and stick to Neverwinter related, or both.
Yeah, sure. I'll go ahead and start out. When my friend eventually got, you know, the D&D starter kit. I don't know if you guys remember those. It's a box with a had a little adventure in the old school D&D characters.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. My friend, he got it when I was about, I don't know, 12, 13. And he was much older than me when he first got it. And I, you know, I got right into it, and I bought the Dungeon Master manual and read that thing three times or so, I don't know. And he was more player-based where I was creating, but he was the only person I really knew that played D&D, so I kind of looked for a new medium. So I found Neverwinter, you know, when it first came out before CEP and all that stuff, and I started my first PW called Fireside. And that's not to be confused with the other Fireside that got popular after CEP came out. I noticed there was another PW named the same thing after I took off.
But
I wondered if they took it after I, you know, they didn't see mine up anymore. But whatever. But, you know, I left Neverwinter after that because, you know, there's so many other games. And I was, I don't know, around 15 by then. I had a lot of stuff going on. And I came back around you know, late 2011, you know, it took a while for me to get back. And I came back and I didn't see anything at all in the vault at all, really. Nothing at all. So I started to think, well, maybe no one's really playing this. But I started to develop in it more for myself. I wanted to, you know, get better at scripting because I do web design in my professional life. So I wanted to get scripting more. And I came back and I just started, you know, messing around, and I started this series mainly for me, and then I noticed that other people were putting mods up again, and that got me kind of thinking maybe I should get this out. And that's really what, you know, really got me back into it.
Sometimes, you know, when you look at the vault and how it has been lately, it has definitely been down, but I don't think that that's a indicative of the amount of players that are still out there playing Neverwinter Nights 1. Just from us interviewing a lot of different people from the Neverwinter Nights 1 community, there's still a lot of action going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I realized that later, too. You know, I when I first started, it was just the vault, but now it's, you know, it's also the all kinds of, like, the Nexus and all stuff like that, you know, and the, I didn't know that was out there, and I know there's a bunch of hidden players out there, and so I really took it forward to really do this because I didn't find those people out there eventually.
Well, from what I understand is that you have started a little series on based on the Neverwinter Nights toolset. Can you please tell us a little bit about the background story of the Darkness and Troll series? And
yeah.
maybe just tell us a little bit of what you need to get started, if you need to get some information or know about some basic backgrounds, or it's complete new settings. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, I started this series. I mainly broke it up into series because I needed time to, you know, get what I have to do done and everything. And this is the first part, and there'll also be a prologue, and then there's going to be part two. Then the background to it, I left it very open to the background for the player. You know, I don't like the models that throw the PC into a situation where they decide things for them, like, here's your mother, this is your sister, go find your brother, or whatever, you know, or you're in this town and you're part of this clan or whatever. I don't necessarily like those. So what I did is I started the story where you don't know necessarily what your background is, because you've woken up with amnesia in this field. And it's the model mainly focuses on the now. It focuses on the player more, you know. So there's not much background involved with the player, but there is background. There's history of the town you run into, and there's a lot of stuff like that. But, overall, you don't really have much background until you get into the game. And the only required content is the CEP stuff, you know, the newest one, 2.3/2.4. And it does use a little bit of the community music pack as well. And there's only a couple parts from that. I know a lot of people don't want to download the full huge file, so I only used a couple segments from that. But it really, really uses a lot of CEP. If you have content that's in the CET, you're most likely going to see it, or the CEP rather, you're most likely going to find it in my model.
Yeah, you might as well definitely take advantage of all the resources that are available to you, tell your story. You know, that's one of the things that's a big bonus of Neverwinter Nights 1, that there is so much wealth of custom content that you could take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of stuff, and I've seen a lot of models that are modules that use it, but they necessarily it to its full extent, in my opinion. You know, they'll have a custom object that's usable, you know, only something that's usable would be custom or something like that, whereas I try to bring every part of, you know, CEP into the environment to really flesh it out.
Have you spent some time developing your own custom content, or you strictly use content CEP?
I've thought about developing new content, but I look at the vault and there's already so much stuff that's not even being used, really, you know, and I find this stuff amazing, and they're still coming out, you know. I still find people putting up random little creatures that they make and stuff, and I really want to celebrate the community and use their content.
No need to reinvent the wheel, I understand.
Yeah.
Well, you know, looking at your stuff, I mean, I think I know the answer to this already, but I'll ask it anyway just to get your take. So how would you classify, like, the type of module? Is it like a heavy story, like a single player RP? Is it like heavy action? And what you think the magic level or the scope of the module is? Like, is it like you go from like a low character to an epic level character, or is it like a specific level range?
Well, it's very RP focused, you know, and story driven. It's linear in a certain extent until you get to a certain point, and then you're kind of open to do what you want. But it is very, very story driven. I wanted to tell a story. That was the main focus, you know, involving the character. The magic, it's probably medium. The harder, it's going to be much harder for any, like, strong focus class that uses magic. It's going to take a lot longer for you. You're probably going to have to save a lot more often. But, you know, it celebrates, you know, a lot of magic. It's not one of those models that doesn't really use any magic until you get to a certain extent. You'll see it throughout the whole model.
Cool. So could you tell us, what are some of the various challenges you faced while you were building this entire system that you've been working on?
Well, it's mostly been time has been the biggest challenge. You know, I made this entire first module in 3 months, and it's been hard because I just got a job that's eating up a lot of my time. I own a web development business that takes a lot of time, and I'm trying to move cross country right now, actually, too. And so it's, you know,
a few things.
yeah, you know, I got a lot going on, so I get an hour here, and I went from actually having about 6 hours a day to, you know, really having everything going, and I can do whatever I want, to about 1 hour a day. So I've really had to, you know, really focus and get it done. And then, you know, I'm not really sure if I had any more challenges besides that. Well, actually, I did have a little bit more with jumping right back into Neverwinter. I've been gone so long that I forgot, you know, what the difference between a message popping up from the PC's point of perspective or having the PC say something. I couldn't remember what that looked like for the PC, so I had to, like, kind of renew everything, so that was a bit of a challenge too.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, definitely coming, being away for so long and then having to come back is definitely, you know, it'll take some ramp up time to get back into it. And I also think, you know, from what you were saying too, something that resonates with a lot of the people that we've talked to is the amount of time that it takes to develop stuff. I mean, the modules, you know, Persistent Worlds, anything. It's just when you get involved with these types of developments, there's a lot of detail, and especially looking over what you've produced, there's, you know, you put a lot of effort, a lot of, you know, professionalism into your work, and before you know it, you know, there goes a whole week, here goes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, that it just, you're working, you're, you know, taking on these jobs and stuff like that. It's hard to do in your spare time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate anyone that, you know, builds anything for the community, because they're doing it on their dime pretty much, you know?
Yeah, oh definitely. Yeah. Not pretty much. it is on their own dime for the most part. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you got time.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. You had to give Brian some crap there.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, and you know, I'm glad that you're out there creating these products that you are, because it, you know, it does help the community to see that there's people putting skin in the game. Yeah, but whether it's time is money in a lot of ways. You know, it's an age old adage, but the truth be told, I mean, there's plenty of things you could be doing instead that would, you know, net you some walking money. You could be building some Franklins up while doing something else. But instead, you're putting out stuff for people to play. You know, community, you're sharing a story. You're running basically an electronic campaign in a sense. We're using the Neverwinter engine to be your dungeon master.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why I eventually first started doing this to help me in my career of level design and scripting. You know, I wanted to learn the language again, but you know, I kind of came to realize that I should give back, you know, to this community. I played so many single player modules that are out there. I kind of want to give homage to them and put my own out.
Absolutely.
So you put a lot of time in your in this module, minimum 3 months plus all the time in the past to learn. What was the reaction of your players, players that you know that have played your module? You got any feedbacks on what you did?
Yeah, I got, you know, it's kind of funny, I got polar opposites feedback. First I should explain, you know, I had to put this module out, you know, very quickly, especially towards the end. I only had a couple hours a day, like, put it out, and there was bugs, and I'm patching them still, you know, and I had, you know, people that gave me harsh comments about, you know, why it wasn't patched before I released it, and I tried to explain, you know. But on the other hand, I got other people just saying this is, you know, really good. I got a lot of emails saying they really liked the environment, how everything's presented, and that's mainly what, you know, I focus on. And I do hope to patch everything, but you know, I really expected no feedback, to be honest. I wasn't expecting anything, so anything is great, really.
Yeah. Yeah. That's and it's always hard to see that you bust your arse, and then, you know, regardless, and all of a sudden, you know, you get some tough feedbacks and stuff. So I know how that could go for certain, but you know, you gotta get through it. And it's just one of the things when you're dealing with a public community, there's always armchair quarterback modders, as I call them.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But from there, since this is one part of the series, do you plan any more? Or any sequel anytime soon?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is part one of the series. What's going to be coming out in probably about 3 months is going to be the prologue, which is going to be short, you know, mainly scene focused, but there's going to be a lot of cool elements and stuff. And that's actually going to be after I start this update. It'll be on the vault next week, I think. The screenshot contest I have coming up with the first part that I just put out. If you know, it's going to be a whole contest. You send in your screenshot, and if you get the best screenshot, you're going to become a part of the prologue, and your character of choice will be put into the prologue. And that's going to be coming out after I get the whole contest going and everything. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to get a lot of people. Not only, I feel like I suck at taking screenshots personally, so I want to get people to know how to take screenshots to get their own out there, and I'll pick the best, and you know, and get their character really involved into the story, so they become a part of it.
Yeah,
and of course there's going to be a, you know, part two is going to come after the prologue. I'm going with the Star Wars weird order of releasing, but you know, whatever. And that's also going to be preceded by a PW that's going to be based on the Darkness Enthralled series, and it's going to be a whole different timeline, and that's pretty far in the future, but, you know, that's will be up and going eventually.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Just keep Jar Jar out of it.
yeah, seriously.
yeah, we won't need that, but yeah, that's cool though, that you plan on moving into a persistent world eventually, and you know, anything, make sure you keep us in a loop on that development so that we can get you marketed out there as much as possible.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll definitely need your help with, you know, getting people on it and everything.
Well, over the course of developing your module, you know, I'm sure you've had enjoyable moments and feelings of and, you know, what would be like some of the things that stick out to you? Like at some points you feel like, yeah, that's really cool, or man, I really pulled this off, but it came up, you know, better than I expected, or, you know, something that really sticks to you is something that through this process that you've experienced.
When I first started using the tool set and when it first came out, I was still really young. I didn't really understand much of the scripting system, the language. I used it. Script generator a lot, and I didn't know how to edit scripts really. So when I came back to Neverwinter, I truly realized what I can do with the system and what I'm capable of doing, and how I can tell these stories and everything. So that was definitely a big, enjoyable moment to really understand what I could do, and that helped me pull off what I wanted to do with the series. And I would have to say probably the first cutscene in the game, though, really proved to myself that I could, make the feeling I want and the mood in the game and everything. And that's the cutscene where you walk into Darren, the town, the first time, and they walk you through, the guard walks you through, and the music from, I used the Morrowind intro music, which I loved, and I incorporated that. You know, you walk in and the music comes on and everything. Once I saw that the first time and it ran perfectly, I really said, I'm going to stick with this tool set.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I know through the course of our development, you know, I've had similar feelings. I mean, some of the crazier things we pulled off, you know, and you sit there and you take a step back, and you're like, wow, you know, that's what drives it sometimes. When you sit back and you see what you've been able to create, it does give you that sense of accomplishment and the fact of, you know, you really kept bringing things to life that you have in your head, because I'm sure that you, as well as then most other developers, you got a kind of a picture of what you want to do in the back of your mind, and the whole time you're working on it, you're trying to accomplish that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times where I had what I wanted in my head, but when I tried to make it, I couldn't quite do it, especially with other tool sets, because I tried other tool sets out there, and I just couldn't quite ever do what I wanted. But it really, you know, I had such a long break from Neverwinter that I had a ton of pent up ideas, and I had to use them all, you know, and just trying to get them all out there. It helped a lot that I understood the tool set now.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty safe to say now that you've got back in the tool set, things are getting a little bit easier for you, and you're picking up a lot of details now again.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially I replayed some older modules, you know, and really understood how they did certain things that I thought was really cool and never knew how to do. Now I do know how to do that, and so it helps me achieve a certain mood and, you know, the atmosphere I want for the entire series.
So in terms of the Neverwinter Night community, you've made a bit of mention that you've been playing older mods and things of that nature. Where do you see the community headed?
It's hard to say, but I would have to say my best guess is we're going to see a slow increase of people coming back to the series, especially because it's the only, you know, true digital version of D&D that you can truly edit anything, do whatever you want. There's not many other games that really achieve that quite as closely as Neverwinter does. So I think we're going to have people coming back, you know, slowly.
So have you seen anything about the new Neverwinter game?
Yeah, I read a lot about it, actually.
How do you feel about it?
It's, I have mixed feelings. I'm hoping it's not going to turn out to be kind of like a Dark Alliance, you know, which was, the first one was a great game, but it was kind of like, you know, a dumbed down version of Neverwinter, the D&D system, you know, it's an older, you know, more arcadey, you know, so I'm hoping they don't do that with that series, but I do have, you know, high hopes for it, and I really want it to achieve. I noticed they kind of cut down the class system, so I don't know, that might be an indication of what's going on, but They do have a lot of people, really good designers and developers working with them. So regardless, I know the story is going to be great either way, and the environment, the graphics, I'm sure it'll be worth picking up.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely changed direction after Perfect World bought them out, and they realigned the project. Is when we interviewed Shane Hedsley, was the executive producer at the time for it, last June. And, you know, from what he was telling us, you know, we were extremely excited from a lot of the stuff, in, you know, when he was telling us in person for the podcast and even behind the scenes stuff. I mean, we really got a good picture of how in depth they were really taking the product. You know, it wasn't going to be necessarily Neverwinter Nights 3, but it certainly was going to be a new way of doing things, you know, like a more of a officially hosted and maintained server system that, you know, you could make your own mods for and stuff like that, but you'd be hosting it on their site, you know, on their hardware. And it, at least, you know, you could always be assured that you wouldn't have the 2DA hell, and you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, people's custom content clobbering others and stuff like that. But on the backside of it, you'd also have the fact that, you know, you wouldn't have the level of customization you have now, nowhere near it. So it was one of those types of things. But at least at the time, it really was coming out, like you said, they had a lot more classes and they had a lot more things listed that they were talking about doing. Now it does seem to be that it's been, you know, back. Maybe it's just because of the deadline and time that they have to get this project completed. And it's hard to say exactly, but hopefully, like you said, I hope there's a lot of high hopes that it ends up being extremely good, extremely well done, and, you know, something really to help the community as a whole. And
yeah, I have a feeling that it'll do, you know, pretty damn well. But yeah, I like the idea of that whole, you know, they are hosting your content. That's going to be great and everything. But they have a lot of competition, you know, especially with series like Elder Scrolls coming out. You know, there's so many big giants out there already. They're trying to come back again. You know, I think it will do pretty good. But I'm just, you know, I'm hoping they don't, you know, take the arcadey route or something and kind of leave us Neverwinter people just hanging by like what happened.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be pessimist about it, but, you know, I understand the whole game business world. They do have a good idea going, so I'm hoping in the highest, you know, I wish them the best.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I also think, though, that if they want to separate themselves from the rest, and, you know, like you said, they have a lot of competition, and if you really want to separate yourself, the best way to do would be to include the community as much as possible, because, I mean, hell, you got Neverwinter Nights 1, which is 10 years old, you know, still going strong, and, you know, being pushed to way beyond what anybody ever expected it to be done with it, you know, and that's all done by the community, you know, and you have this new platform coming out, environment, that, you know, if it's not going to really include the community as far as, you know, people being able to realize their ideas and their, you know, their contributions, then it's going to be harder to maintain something like that long term.
Definitely. Especially nowadays where, I mean, I don't think if you told anybody that games like Call of Duty or Battlefield 3 or even Guild Wars 2 or any of these R games that are either coming out or currently exist. I mean, there's been a lot of surprising flops.
Yep.
And I think that's something that, you know, in Neverwinter, they're going to have to make sure they keep a track of, because there's a reason why some of these games didn't do as well as they expected.
Yeah.
Or why some of these games have the buzz they do. I mean, it's not just happenstance that it's the old players that think it's interesting.
Right, right. You know, I thought, you know, I had high hopes for Neverwinter 2. You know, I thought it was going to be what, you know, what this next Neverwinter was going to be. You know, I thought it was going to be the highest quality, you know, game for D&D and, you know, all those systems, and it seemed great. I don't know what the ratio to Neverwinter 1 to 2 player amount is, but, you know, I prefer Neverwinter 1. I have a lot of reasons. I won't really go into it, but I just genuinely do. It's, you know, solid. So I'm hoping, you know, it'll not be another Neverwinter 2 for me personally.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, certainly that sentiment has been, you know, radiated throughout the community. I mean, we're solely Neverwinter Nights 2, but, you know, we've also fixed a lot of the problems with what we had abilities to fix. And also, there's been a lot of community work, just like Neverwinter Nights 1. Actually, some of the same players. I mean, the Skywing that did the Neverwinter Nights extender, and, you know, we have the same types of enhancements on 2 that really have changed the way that people play 2. You know, and But, you know, it rolled out, just like you said, is buggy and very unstable and a lot of problems and performance issues. So when you have something like that happen, it's hard to recover from that at the end of the day. And, it, you know, in a lot of ways, it's harder to develop for two than it is one. So, you kind of take away the community aspect there, and you see what happens. It doesn't do as good as what originally Neverwinter Nights 1 was able to do.
Right.
Yep. Well, I totally agree with you.
It's all about content.
Well, you know, to close out the podcast, I want to, first of all, thank you for coming on. It's been a total pleasure interviewing you and hearing how you come up with your module series and your plans coming for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on, and thank you guys for still doing this. You know, you guys are helping out the community. It helps a lot.
Well, I appreciate that. We do what we can. And also, you know, is there anything else that you'd want to tell the audience about anything upcoming or anything that we may have missed in the interview so far?
Well, I just want to say, if you've already downloaded the module, you know, there's going to be certain issues, bugs, and if you just return to the page and re-download, I'm trying my hardest to get all the bugs done, you know, and just get them out and everything. And it's been kind of hard. I've gotten a lot of help from people. You know, any feedback helps at all. And keep an eye out for the screenshot contest that's coming out for the same model. You know, you can play that, start taking your screenshots, go visit the vault when it gets posted, and you can submit your own and become a part of the series.
Very cool. Well, we'll certainly post that information once it's out there, and you know, we'll get that on our webpage as well.
Yeah. Awesome.
And you get the closing line.
All right, get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.